Welcome, guys, to the Sportscast, October 2nd, 2018. Alabama beat Louisiana Lafayette 56-14. Now, these are games that Alabama faces a couple of times a season, maybe once, that are pretty easy. I call them a scrimmage. And here to talk to you about a little bit about the game is Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Man, great to be back for another week in a row. You may call them a scrimmage. I call it a cupcake game because we all like cupcakes, right?
We all do. And, you know, the game was pretty much done by the first quarter. It was 28 points that Alabama scored and 21 points in the second quarter. And Louisiana Lafayette couldn't score till the fourth quarter, which they got two touchdowns.
Right. It was good to see Alabama get off to a quick start. You kind of worry about the enthusiasm of the players going into games like this because, quite frankly, I mean, who gets up for games against opponents like Louisiana Lafayette? Really hard to really get motivated and to really buy into the fact, hey, this team could get up and beat you. It's just hard, so you kind of question, you know, what kind of effort are they going to put forth? So that's why I said last week that I'd be surprised if Alabama scored beyond 41 points. However, I think they got that, I think, in quarter number two. Am I correct? They got the 49?
Quarter number two, they got to 49. You are correct, yes.
Right. So pleasantly surprised, off to an amazing start. Offense, as always, is hitting on all cylinders and just absolutely punishing Louisiana Lafayette. Had a pretty incredible day. One of the best things was they're injury-free. That's one of the things you do have to be concerned about when playing these opponents that are lesser than what you normally are accustomed to, is your top players going down to injury or staying in too long. So on and so forth, but we got some quality reps from everybody, and we were able to see some quality reps from our boy Mac Jones, who threw his first touchdown pass of his Alabama career.
Let's go, Mac Jones. Really excited about that.
Go, Mac Jones. Matter of fact, the quarterbacks as a whole for Alabama were just on point. Tagovailoa, 8 for 8 for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. His day was over with pretty early. And then, to everybody's surprise, into an amazing standing ovation, Jalen Hurts shut up all the doubters and all the analysts that were saying that he was going to redshirt and he should hightail it out of there by taking the snap and playing. He was 4-6 for 118 yards and 1 touchdown, including an incredible pass to Henry Ruggs. And then Mac Jones only threw 2 passes, one of which was on point. A 94-yard touchdown pass to Jalen Waddle. But let's go back to Jalen Hurts, man. I can't speak more about this young man's character. What an amazing show of character and selflessness that you just don't see this day and age from athletes. You basically are seeing the generation of athlete that if they don't get their way, they don't feel like they're getting the playing time that they deserve, so on and so forth, they're going to take their toys and go home, which has been the case here recently, most notably with he made a commitment to his team. He made a commitment to his brothers. He respects them. He loves them. Don't want to leave that. Plus, this is another opportunity for him to really develop and not form rust, as you'd say, by just sitting on the bench or playing scout team. He's going to be getting quality reps. He's going to be working with our offensive coordinator, not only our offensive coordinator, but our quarterbacks coach Dan Enos, who was highly revered at coaching quarterbacks. So if he does decide to transfer once he graduates in December, he's going to be very prepared, whatever decision he makes, wherever he decides to go at that point. But let's move on to that. Josh Jacobs had a pretty good day, two rushing touchdowns. Najee Harris led all rushers and had 1 touchdown. Again, the wide receivers for Bama are showing out. just taking a lot of the publicity away from the running backs, which is very odd for Bama. But, man, nonetheless, let your fine performance fund wide receivers. Most notably, the kid out of Houston, the freshman, Jalen Waddle, 3 catches for 138 yards and 2 touchdowns. And, oh, let's throw in one more, 63-yard punt return for a touchdown. We all have been eagerly anticipating his breakout, and looks like he did that. And, man, the sky's the limit for this kid. And it's just hard to believe that he is one of several wide receivers that Alabama's got in that arsenal that can do just about anything. He can be a game changer. Henry Ruggs III had 5 grabs for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns. Just a big day for that offense.
Alabama had one heck of a game. Do you think this was the easiest game on the schedule? I mean, you guys beat Louisville 51-14. You beat Arkansas 57-7. Is this the weakest team?
Yeah. I hate to say weakest team because I don't want to be disrespectful to Louisiana Lafayette, but they're not one of the top quality opponents. Definitely not one of the top teams in their conference right now. But they're a young team with a young coach, really trying to find their way. But it was definitely one of the quote easier games for us. I'm sure, though, the game that we're going to have before playing Auburn should be somewhat similar. But,
yeah, with Citadel, which I was wondering, is Citadel weaker or almost the same?
To be honest with you, I really don't know much about Citadel, but it's kind of the same level. Of course, Citadel is one of those lower-tier opponents in Division I playing in a small conference. So, most would think it would be short work for Alabama, especially since they're going to be the pregame preparation for Auburn.
Now, you were talking about Jalen Hurts and how he stuck around. How do you compare him to Kelly Bryant, who is now saying he wants to transfer? How do you compare those two?
I don't really think there's a comparison. I just kind of based on reactions I'm hearing on social media and comments he's making, I just feel like his attitude does not really mirror Jalen's at all. I think Jalen's more of a team player, more of a classy individual. Jalen just boasts this incredible character that really is not matched by many in sports, let alone college football. Jalen is using this opportunity to grow and to develop and to also help his team. He made a commitment to stick around. So if something happens, God forbid, to our main man, Tago Vailoa, Jalen can step right in, and the offense shouldn't slow down. Whereas Kelly Bryant, I still don't think that the decision by the coaching staff there was the right one quite yet. I think they may have pressed the panic button a little too early. Of course, I really hadn't seen enough of Trevor Lawrence to really be, an accurate judge of a player there. But Kelly Bryant is just following suit with a long list of other players that are got their feelings hurt because they aren't getting the job done the way they need to, and their production's not where they need to be, and they just got beat out by a superior player. But I just think they're different. I think they're different styles. I think Jalen, like I said, more of a leader, more of a selfless player. And it's truly amazing. If anyone had a right to, if you will, had a right to complain and run off, it would be him. I mean, the man was 26-2, the starter, got Alabama to 2 national championship games, was conference player of the year one of those years. Most people would argue that, yeah, he should take off, but he didn't. And it shows, again, a tremendous amount of character.
And would you consider Trevor Lawrence a top 10 quarterback?
Not quite yet. I mean, the kid's still green. I think he's shown flashes of being good, but, I mean, he's still got a lot of development that he's got to go through. I just don't, like I said, I'm not Dabo Swinney. I'm not a college one, Division one coach. You know, they obviously know a whole lot more than I do. I just don't think it was quite time to do that. It's still early in the season, and Clemson really wasn't in danger of losing anything. I mean, yeah, they had a tough game against a very good Texas A&M team. You know, that happens. You know, so I wouldn't use that as a marker. Of course, they struggled against Syracuse, mainly because Lawrence went down and then another freshman had to come up and play. I just don't think it was the right decision quite yet. But I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a good talent. He definitely does have tremendous upside. He definitely has a lot of good intangibles coming in. But I guess we'll find out how quickly it's going to manifest, because he is the guy now.
Who are your top three quarterbacks in college football right now?
Top-tier quarterbacks.
In your top three.
My top three? Let's see. Tagovailoa is definitely one of my top three. I think Kyler Murray is putting up insane numbers over there at Oklahoma. And then I think Gaskin over here at Ohio State is doing very well.
Wow. And who's your honorable mention?
Honorable mention, Browning from Washington.
Wow. No Justin Herbert.
Man, you shouldn't have said that out loud, man. Our boy's going to get mad at that.
Just testing the waters. What is your thought about Justin Herbert? Is he overrated?
No, not at all. I think he's an excellent, excellent quarterback. And let me retract. I think he should be my honorable mention. I think that his talent level is far above his team. And if he had better talent, especially the wide receiver position, they could be doing some pretty incredible things right now. I think that kid, barring some disaster, is bound for the NFL.
There you have it. I think Justin Herbert has a lot of potential. I think he's there. I think he'll probably go into the NFL draft in 2019. So we'll see where he ends up. Let's look onward to the Arkansas game that Nick Saban calls it the trap game. How do you see it?
I definitely second that motion there. This is the, quote, rat poison game. If you recall that little statement he made at last year's Arkansas game. A couple of negatives going in. It's an 11 o'clock game. Always hard for players to get up early and get it going for the early TV time slot. Then also, too, regardless of what you see on paper, regardless of what you may say or think of Arkansas, Fayetteville is a hard place to play. And plus, Arkansas right now is starting to come around a little bit. They took Texas A&M to the wire. So if Alabama is being complacent and looking past Arkansas, they could very well get beat, because that's a pretty loud stadium, and it's just a tough place to play. But if Alabama does what they're supposed to do, they should have no problem. Looking on the paper, though, Arkansas is only averaging 23.8 points per game, and they're giving up 31.2 points per game. I mean, they're only allowing 105 yards rushing per game, which isn't bad, but they're just really not a whole lot of production on both sides of the ball from Arkansas right now. And if you were to go on that, based on the performance of the both teams, Alabama should win pretty handily, but they can't go in thinking that. They got to go in as in light this opponent is someone who's potentially in their way of achieving their destiny.
The Razorbacks have the number 108th defense of total offense and the number 92 scoring defense with a negative turnover margin and the fifth worst third down conversion percentage nationally.
Absolutely hard to believe that they have dropped so far. This is not typical of an Arkansas team. No, Arkansas is not some behemoth in the SEC conference, but it's just hard to see them struggling like this. Most notably when they dropped that game conventionally to North Texas. My gosh. But, I mean, if you look at the stats, man, it's there. The stats don't lie. The quarterback, Ty Story, has only passed for 631 yards for only four touchdowns to four interceptions. Running backs is a running back by committee. Devoir Whaley, which is a very talented kid, 231 yards, two touchdowns, 4.4 yards per carry, and his counterpart, Rakeem Boyd, only 192 yards, but an amazing 6.2 yards per carry. Offense continues with wide receiver LaMichael Petway, Jr. He's a tall receiver, but only got 183 yards receiving and three touchdowns. So not a whole lot of stats that really just jump off at you from the sheet there. It's just really hard to find a lot of positives from the Razorbacks going into this game. But they could very well wake up, and they always tend to get up for Alabama. They play inspired, and they play Alabama tough. So you definitely cannot overlook them.
We'll see what happens. It's 11 a.m. Central Time, 12 p.m. Eastern, and it will be on CBS. Check your local listings. It should be a good one, but there'll be other bigger games than that throughout the day. Are you ready for some predictions?
Absolutely.
Let's go with Texas versus Oklahoma.
Man, that's going to be an interesting game. Of course, yeah, Oklahoma is definitely the pick that is very sexy in this, and especially with Kyler Murray just playing an unbelievable level. But Oklahoma has struggled against some opponents that they really shouldn't have struggled against, like Army, for instance. Texas seems to be finding their way and seems to be waking up a little bit. Still understand how they dropped that game to Maryland in the season opener. But they did. But they seem to have found new life with some wins here recently. Always a quality game to watch. This is one of the oldest and best rivalries in college football. I want to go with Oklahoma in this one. I think Oklahoma is still the better team, and I'm not going to quite buy into hook them yet. So I still think they got a ways to go. They are improving, do look better, but I do like Oklahoma and another close one.
I'm going to press pause on this. I've noticed, I forgot to mention the top 25, and Clemson dropped to number four. What are your thoughts?
Clemson drops to number four. Well,
and then Georgia went to number two, Ohio State three. So,
well, I think Clemson unfairly dropped. They did struggle against Syracuse, but a couple of things. One, Syracuse came to that game undefeated. They're not a bad team. But two, Clemson also won that game. Albeit very close, without the services of Trevor Lawrence, their number one quarterback. They had to pretty much rely on Etienne to win that game by himself. So I don't think that you should judge Clemson based on that. But then again, what have you done for me now type situation when it comes to college football. Everybody's still in love and enamored by Ohio State. And they're just looking for a reason to move them up. They did beat a quality team in Penn State, yes, and they did come from behind. Got to give them credit there because for a majority of that game looked like Penn State was going to win and was going to win convincingly. However, Penn State didn't get the job done, so boom, goes Ohio State. Georgia's still playing at a very good level. I can't disagree there. Can't deny Georgia Bulldogs are still one of the best teams in the country right now.
And we have,
but I still think that LSU needs to be ranked ahead of Ohio State.
So you would say that there should be three SEC teams in the top four.
Well, absolutely, and I'm not being an SEC homer in this. I'm just going off of results, the production here.
I don't disagree. I think LSU is a great team.
Absolutely. I mean, they haven't got to their meat of the schedule just yet. Well, actually, they're playing it right now, and we'll see how good they are once they get through this gauntlet. And I think they prove themselves if they get through this gauntlet undefeated. But
Auburn is also
what they've done.
Auburn is number eight. How do you see that as a weight on you guys?
Auburn is still one of the better teams in the country right now. I think a lot of people are still looking negatively on them from that loss to LSU. And then, too, they probably are frowning on them a little bit with that struggle win against Southern Miss. And to be honest with you, I don't think that you really should judge Auburn harshly on that one. You got to take into account, one, it was against a lesser opponent, and, two, they experienced a rain delay. And it's hard to start over again and just remain focused and enthusiastic in situations like that. They still got the job done, although not in a beautiful, spectacular fashion. They still won. You're going to have games like that. That it happens. But Auburn is still going to be a dangerous opponent in the wings, not only for us, but for Georgia and other teams to be playing.
Well, back to predictions, but yeah, you're right. The SEC has a lot of weight this year. They're still the best conference. You just see it. You see it in the rankings. You see their weight, and like you're right, like you were saying, if LSU could go through that meet, they're definitely in top four, easily.
Oh, absolutely. And right now, so far, the SEC is outplaying the other teams right now in the top ten and in the country as a whole. And not being a homer again, it's just there is a clear separation right now.
Yeah, the SEC has not weakened, has not dwindled, is still as strong as it was ever before. Okay, let's get back to predictions. I really apologize. We had to go through the top 25. I usually do it with Justin every week, and we discuss it. And just looking at it, it's just see a clear picture of what's happening in real time. LSU versus Florida. No, sorry. Let's start FSU versus Miami. Let's start that for one first, and then we'll get to the other one.
FSU. You know, at one time, this would have been a game to watch.
Yeah.
Florida State, man, I thought they might have a little bit of growing pains with Taggart. I didn't think they were going to be downright pitiful. And it's just amazing because you see, what was the quarterback's name for Florida State now? I just his name.
Hold on, let me
put my mind.
I'll look for it right now. 2018 FSC quarterback is James Blackman. Or is it DeAndre Francois?
DeAndre Francois. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. You hate for DeAndre Francois. He last season, as you know, he went down in the season opener against Alabama, did not return. He's healthy again and ready to go, and he unfortunately has been welcomed back with just an absolutely horrible team. Hate it for him because this is a kid that is probably one of the better talents in the country and quite possibly an NFL draft pick. So you just got to hate for him, and they have better talent than what they're showing. Definitely a good running game. Cam Akers is probably one of the better running backs in the nation right now. I just don't think the players right now are dialed in. I don't think that they're connected. And so I don't think Miami allows this to be close. I think Miami is going to win big.
LSU versus Florida, big game.
That is a huge game. If Florida had any kind or resemblance of an offense, I'd say this would be a really big game because LSU definitely has an offense, and they're getting better each week. Those running backs, looking phenomenal as always. Their wide receivers are still just lethal. Morrow gets better every week as well. Really cool thing of note, Leonard Fournette's little brother is playing running back for LSU and doing pretty well. I think Florida keeps it close in the first half, and it's going to be a defensive game, a little bit of a chess game in the first half, but then in the second half, LSU is going to start pull away, and they're going to win convincingly.
Notre Dame versus Virginia Tech.
Right now, Notre Dame is playing on a much better level. They seem to be very confident in what they're doing. They seem to be responding well with Book at quarterback. They just seem to be a better team. And I want to get excited about them. But the thing is, Notre Dame always starts out real well, but then they do the Notre Dame thing, and they drop games they shouldn't. However, I don't see them dropping this game right now. I think they're above and beyond Virginia Tech, and I think that the Notre Dame wins, and they win by 14 points.
14 points, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. Alabama versus Arkansas.
Well, as long as Alabama goes in with the right mindset, I think Alabama wins. Alabama convincingly. I do want to say I don't think they're going to score 50 again. I think Alabama will win probably around 45-17.
17 points.
And
that's more than Louisiana and Lafayette.
I think we'll see both Hurts and Tagovailoa again. That's how I feel about it.
And maybe Mac Jones.
Well, if we get in the 50s again, yes. But I think it's going to be the Jalen and Tua show right now. But one thing we definitely need to work on is that establishing that running game. That's a big thing. We need to be well rounded when it comes to our offense. Receivers playing at such a high level. And have the opportunity to do something big again this week because of Arkansas's weak pass defense.
Now, is Mac Jones the quarterback of the future, or is he just back up forever?
To be determined, I think he's very talented, and he definitely was highly recruited coming out of high school, highly ranked kid. We really don't know just yet, but mainly because of Tagovailoa's little brother coming. So this is one of those little just wait and see type things.
All right, let's go NFL. Broncos at the Jets.
I think Broncos bounce back, and they beat a struggling Jets team right now who's trying to find their way. I think that Denver picks itself up after that disappointing loss on Monday and wins.
Green Bay at Detroit.
That's going to be a toss-up. I think right now, gotta go with Detroit. I still, even though you know, I believe they lost this past weekend. I still think they are a better team and a team to watch. I really like that offense of theirs, and I feel like the Packers may be playing a little frustrated right now. So I want to go with Detroit.
Miami at Cincinnati.
Man, really caught it wrong last week with Miami against New England. I thought Miami was going to come in on fire and remain on fire like they have been and play at a much higher level than they did. But it's the Patriots doing Patriot things, and it is to be expected. However, I think that Miami is going to bounce back this week, and I think they beat the Bengals. And Kenyon Drake has a big game.
Let's do it. 4-1. Jacksonville at Kansas City.
Man, this is probably one of the better games in the NFL this weekend. You're going to find out really how good Mahomes and that offense is right now because they're going to be going against a pretty nasty defense. If they can somehow find some way to put up points against that defense, then they are the real deal. But I don't think that Kansas City's quite ready for prime time yet. Gonna go with the Jacksonville Jaguars with T.J. Yeldon leading the way.
That team is – it feels like the Jacksonville Jaguars is like an SEC team. It feels like it.
It does. They're playing a physical, grinded out style of ball. And of course, the majority of the players are from the SEC, so there you go.
Are you a Blake Bortles fan?
Kind of, sort of. I was a fan of his when he was in college, and I was a fan of his coming into the NFL. I was really disappointed in the criticism he drew, because up until this past season, he really didn't have a whole lot to work with.
And who is your favorite non-Power 5 team?
I have to get back on you with it. The fighting, the fighting Kiffins.
Okay. FAU. Yeah, that's Ryan's favorite. Tyler's favorite is UCF because they're undefeated still.
Whatever.
Atlanta at Pittsburgh.
I think Atlanta finally wins one. Atlanta is a really, really amazing team to watch. They're certainly putting up a lot of points and definitely getting a lot of offensive production with Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, but somehow they can't figure out how to win. But I think this week they finally get the defense to actually stop somebody, and I think they beat Pittsburgh.
Baltimore at the Cleveland Browns.
Baltimore, baby. Baltimore's on a roll, man. Telling you, this is going to be a team to watch in the AFC.
The Texas Derby, Dallas Cowboys at the Houston Texans.
Man, can it be any more boring? I believe Dallas is going to win that game, and I think it's going to be one of those yawners.
And Washington at the New Orleans Saints.
Washington, man, I really like them, even though New Orleans has Mark Ingram coming back this week. That Washington defense is just playing at an incredible level. They look really good with De'Ron Payne and Jonathan Allen and company, man. I just really like what they're doing right now as a team.
Is that one Alabama player still playing for the Bears?
Yes, Eddie Jackson is the starting safety for the Bears.
Okay, yeah. He was the one that had that huge touchdown last year, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, well, the Bears are actually looking really good this year, by the way.
Absolutely, man. Incredible to watch.
And the random question of the day is, would you rather be hit on the face or spit on the face?
I'd rather be spit, because I don't want to be bruised and hurting.
Well, that comes to the end of the show. Justin, how can people reach you?
Okay, as always, guys. First, let me go with the email, 121training, that's number 12, one spelled out, training@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Facebook, /121training. But if you really want some serious info and really know what we're about, follow us on social media with my Twitter and my Instagram accounts @121training.
And will you have some? Will you have a television to watch the Alabama game?
Actually, no. I got informed by DirecTV that they goofed up my order and they will not be able to transfer the service over to my new house until next Tuesday.
Wow.
Even though I called them 3 weeks in advance to make this transition, they goofed it up and they can't seem to get everything together. But until next Tuesday, so. I'm going to have to be catching the game either on your Alabama football radio app or try to watch it on the Watch ESPN app.
There you go.
I'll try to catch it either way.
Yeah, which I think it's $5 on the Watch ESPN. No, if you have the DirecTV account, I mean, I guess you're able to log in with your DirecTV and get that game.
Right.
I think. Anyways, we'll find out. But the DirecTV will be available for the Missouri game on October 13th, and we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to a big game, big weekend ahead of us. Kansas City, Jacksonville is the biggest game in the NFL, and in college football. I really do think LSU Florida has a lot of weight Well, not a lot of weight. I think it'd be LSU would be tested again, but Florida is ranked as well. But I think that'd be a big game, and we'll see where LSU is, because LSU is, we can say, the most exciting team in college football.
I think at this point, yeah, I think you can. That's an accurate assessment.
There you go. And don't forget, guys, to subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And you're on YouTube, put a like, share it with your friends, and capture the best sports analysis in the country, from soccer to Ryder Cup to college football. We got a mix. We even touch boxing. So things get a little crazy here. Anyways, Santiago Leon speaking. Justin, thanks for coming on to the SportsCast.
Absolutely, man. Enjoyed another great cast.